Welcome to North Shore Today. Today is Thursday, the 25th day of February. Hi, everyone. I'm Bill Newell, along with Rick Moore, after a wild weather night last night here on the North Shore. Rick, I think I lost all my pine needles out of my tree. I mean, it was so windy last night. We had rain, thunder, lightning, whatever, and wind, the entire works. But now it's just like a calm little Thursday morning out there.
I think the thunder knocked the pine needles out of our trees. God, it was amazing.
It's crazy, and it's end of February, so a little unusual for that, but nonetheless, here we are getting ready for, well, it's been very warm out there right now, but I guess it's going to cool off a little bit, but that's the weather forecast. And in the news, we do have some news here today. Coming up in our program, we've got Dave Rattigan, and we're going to join Dave from the Cabot Theater on Cabot Street in Beverly in just a moment. He is putting on a comedy show on Saturday night at the Cabot. We also have a post up on our website with Casey Sword, who is the executive director of the Cabot. That's on our website. They've got a lot of things happening over there. And so if you're interested, there are tickets still available for the comedy show on Saturday night. Now, in the news, staying in Beverly assistant principal and football coach Dan Bauer, who's been an incredibly successful football coach at the high school, is going to be the next principal at Marblehead High School. So congratulations to Dan Bauer, and it's a huge loss for the city of Beverly, but a great addition for the town of Marblehead.
Well, I'm glad he's staying on the North Shore, and he, as was pointed out in one of the papers, he's added with Marblehead football coach Jim Redloff. Yes, Coach Redloff was an assistant on Coach Bauer's staff a while back, so those two are getting back together. But yeah, congratulations to Dan. Great career move. You know, he's very respected in the community and also very respected not only as a coach but also as an assistant principal. So I'm sure he'll do a fabulous job over in Marblehead. And then, of course, now we have to see what the result will be in Beverly. Who's the next Beverly Panther coach?
Yeah, they'll have to hire a new football coach over in Beverly. And I think that Dan's one of these guys that he strikes me as he's very successful at what he does. But he's on top of that. He's a better person than all of that rolled together. So that's a huge loss for Beverly, and we congratulate him, and not just for the job move, but it's a great move for him and his family, I think, to get that recognition, and he should be a great principal. On another personnel note here, Gary Malaya, the athletic director at Lynn English High School, is going to be the assistant principal or one of the assistant principals at Lynn English High School. So we got a little personnel news from athletics to school administration in our North Shore Today program today.
Sounds good to me. And up in Gloucester, we had a story last week, I believe it was, from the Gloucester Times about the MBTA bridge replacement in Gloucester, the train bridge. And I don't know that they mentioned the price, but the price is in the paper now. It's going to cost $63 million. And originally, the project, when first posited 4 years ago, was estimated to cost $34 million. So now it's up to $63 million. And I have no idea who's paying for it. Those numbers just I can't handle. And the only other thing I want to mention, Bill, is that Rob Ninkovich was at an elementary school in Gloucester yesterday. The Patriots linebacker was visiting one of the schools. He's got a friend who's got some kids at the school, and apparently the friend persuaded him to come visit the kids. So great little story there. All the kids they were told to wear their Patriots gear to school yesterday, and without being told why. And then Ninkovich came in, and I guess was really a lot of fun to talk to the kids.
All right, that sounds great. And one other note here, front page from the item in Lynn today. Bob Fennell, state rep, who's stepping down, I guess had his final speech or address at the state house yesterday. So a little note on him on the front page of today's daily item. Well, just ahead, we're going to talk with Dave Rattigan. We're going to come back with more stories in North Shore news and whatever, some other topics. And we'll also take a look at sports as well for you here. We do have some sports posts up on the website. We'll tell you more about some things happening here. But it's Thursday, and I'm Bill Newell along with Rick Moore on North Shore Today. Welcome back to North Shore Today. We're joined by Dave Rattigan from Scamps Comedy. Bill Newell, Rick Moore here, and Dave, you got a huge comedy show coming up this Saturday night at the Cabot Theater, the refurbished Cabot Theater, and in fact, here we are, Rick and myself and you, we're in the Cabot Theater as we speak.
Yes, we are. Yes, we are, and hopefully it'll be a huge show. We'll see. It's a good show. Yeah. It's a good show. I got. I'll plug it first, and then we'll talk.
Yeah. Why don't you? So you got some comedians coming in, and so maybe tell us who some of those comedians might be,
there,
Dave.
There are three of them that headline. There are four comedians total. Three of them headline around the Boston area. Two of them have done national television. One of them just did a movie. Well, maybe not just, but he did the Larry Sanders movie that was shot around. Larry David movie that was shot around the North Shore. That's Chris Zito, who was on the Morning Zoo. We were back when they had morning zoos. He was on that in Boston. Very funny guy. Chris Zito, Dan Bulger, who's done Late Late Show with Greg Ferguson a few times and done Comedy Central, and Ira Proctor, who was incredibly funny, and I know he did an interview with you guys previously.
Yeah.
So you know how funny he is, and he's had some sniffs from Comedy Central and everything else, so he's the guy. And Dave Decker, who's also very, very good. So it's a great show, and one of the things that we've done with, or the big thing about this show from my standpoint is, this will be people's first chance to come to see a comedy show here since the renovation of the indoors, of the interior, which is, if you haven't been to the Cabot, as you guys can see, because we're here, fantastic. The lower section has been reconfigured. They've got new seats, which was the biggest real negative about the Cabot that I heard. And it really is nice in here. I think it's going to be really nice to hopefully have a big crowd come out here to see the comedy and experience the new seats.
All right, so you got new seats here. Now, if people are interested in getting tickets, what's the best way for them to do that? Other than maybe hit me up when because you're going to be giving me all these free tickets. No, yeah. I'm just kidding you.
That's a great idea. No, that's how you can tell how old you are. You say www.thecabot.org.
Is that some kind of a website, Dave? Is that what that
it's
is?
It's a website where you can go and actually buy tickets. It's a website on the interweb. It's thecabot.org, and you basically go and you hit some buttons, and the next thing you know, boom, you get tickets.
Yeah.
Just that easy. The tickets are $22 if you use your credit card, but if you steal someone's identity, they're free. So...
Not recommended, by the way. You've done a show here already at the Cabot.
Yeah,
tell us about that.
We've done a couple. We did it as, let's put it this way. My company, I've done two shows. I've actually done three. I did a fundraiser here. My company has done a bunch, and we did the very first big crowd here. Back when they opened it at the end of 2014, the new group came in. They purchased it. They became a nonprofit, and they decided they wanted to be open as they planned all these renovations. They wanted to get it open, get it breathing, so to speak, and get something in here. And they had done a couple of events before us, and I talked to Paul Van Ness, who was on the board and was the executive director at the time, and Paul and I talked about doing a comedy show. So we did a New Year's Eve comedy show in 2014, December 31st, and it was a huge success, the first really big turnout event they had here at the Cabot. We had 475. Then we did a few shows during the year. We did pretty well. And then last New Year's Eve, about 6 to 7 weeks ago, we did it New Year's Eve, and it was fantastic. 666 people, which is not your favorite number, favorite number. Well, not some people's favorite number, but okay. not ours, not either of the, not you or I, probably Bill's. But
I seem to like it. It's easy to remember, yeah. Right?
It is easy to remember. And there were a lot of people here, and it was a lot of fun. So but this is...
The other thing we're talking about, Dave, in the pregame, though, is in our pregame warm-up, is after the program, whether it's an afternoon show or an evening show, there is stuff to do in the immediate area. Go out and have a cup of coffee or drink or whatever.
That's, I think, if you talk about the creative economy, which is to get into things other than, get into things that people talk about if they're... newspaper reporters or radio guys, the creative economy. This is the center of it for this city. Obviously, we've also got the Larkham. So in Beverly, you've got two drivers that are getting people into the downtown at night. And you've got it going on in Rockport with the Shaylin Lou, which is a brand new, it's not brand new anymore, but... It's a new building, and then you've got these rehab buildings or just old buildings that just get repurposed, like the Larkham, which is a beautiful theater down the street here in Beverly. And Lynn City Hall Auditorium is fantastic. And all four of those buildings and many, many others across the state, you see this trend of these suburban theaters in the downtown that are acting like magnets to bring people in. They come in here, they stay for a drink, maybe they come in early, they have dinner, and maybe they come back and they breathe a little life into the downtown.
That's your journalism background speaking now. How did you get involved in stand-up comedy, Dave? What's your background in that?
I just got divorced, And
that was funny.
Let's put it this way. I got divorced, and I thought, maybe I'll do stand-up, and that will be better than some of the other things I could do at this stage of my life. I'd always wanted to do it. And oddly enough, that's one of the times that people become stand-up comedians is turning 30, getting out of college, turning 30, turning 40, and divorce. You know, periods of transition mm-hmm. in life. These are when people figure, you know, I've always wanted to do this. I want to try it. Unfortunately, or fortunately, depending on how you look at it, I was pretty good right out of the gate. So I kept doing it. And then, of course, it's been nothing but 20 years of misery ever since. So,
have you made some interesting and lasting friendships along the way with others that you've met in this line of work?
Well, John Stamos walked into my dressing room, which is the most interesting and significant thing that anybody cares about from my career. And the only thing that's interesting about that, John Stamos. Mm-hmm. The rest of it, the story just kind of dissipates. But that's all that anybody cares about when I talk about my career.
Not me. I'm interested in seeing if you've met people who've had similar experience or people that come from other backgrounds, other professions or things like that that you've stayed in touch with.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's what I'm.
I think there have been a lot of people that I've made. There were a lot of friendships I've made and a lot of interesting people that I met. You know, stand-up is one of those careers in Boston, not everywhere, mm-hmm. but in Boston and maybe in upstate New York, I've been told, stand-up is a place where you can be something else and be a comedian at night or a comedian on the side or a second career as a comedian. You don't have to travel all over the country to make a living. And so you get people who are lawyers. You get people who are occasionally you get a doctor. I've had a couple of neuroscientists. In fact, I have a friend who's he's Chinese. Name's Joe Wong.
Well, right away, that sounds funny, David.
China's having a comedy revolution. According to the Wall Street Journal, Joe Wong is at the center of it. Joe Wong was here. He had some success. He went on Letterman before. He went on Letterman a couple of years ago. He went on Letterman again. He went on Ellen. Ray Romano's manager started to manage him. He had a deal. He had things going on. And then he winds up somehow over in China. China is having a comedy boom like the United States had back in the 80s, 90s, and except much more dramatic, I guess. And, you know, almost like they're writing about it culturally like, you know, the Chinese are learning how to laugh, and they're learning what comedy is. And he's at the center of it. So
they have a little red light that goes on at the right moment when to laugh, right? Instead of an applause sign, they have a laugh sign.
That I don't know. But it's funny because the Journal's done two stories about him. And the first story was, the Chinese really don't know what to make of Joe Wong. And then the second was comedy explosion. So a fascinating experience for him. And but I've met other people who've been interesting because it's the kind of thing that there are no barriers to entry. And there are a lot of people who start out, they start out at open mic level. Yeah. And maybe they're a really good teacher or maybe they're a really good police detective. And they might not be a very good comedian, but they're interesting people to meet.
So do you rehearse? I mean, how does this work for you?
Combination. I used to do a lot more straight-out rehearsal, standing there and, mm-hmm. and going through my act. Now it's much more, I'll write something, I'll go to an open mic, I'll try it there. You drop it into conversation. If you have a line that you think is funny, you drop it into conversation. But more or less, you go to an open mic, you do a couple of older bits to get the crowd on your side, then you drop in the newer bits, then you finish off with a couple of older bits to to redeem yourself sometimes. And you just kind of go back, and it's very scientific. You know, you try it out. Did it work? I'll try it again. If it doesn't work, you might try it 3 or 4 or 5 or 10 times. But whatever your number is, at some point you decide, okay, that's a keeper. I'm going to keep it in. I'm going to build from it. Or, you know, we'll have to come back to this one later on.
When you work with other guys on the stage or other people on the stage, male, female, whatever it is, do you play off that, or you stick strictly with who you are? With your experience now, are you able to feel out the audience, the chemistry, that kind of thing, and maybe change up a little bit?
You can change up a little bit, but not a ton. And when you work with other guys, you have to do it in a way that's respectful because you don't want to mistakenly do a joke that steps on one of their jokes or insult them or you know, accidentally. And people accidentally insult comedians all the time. It's, you know, the whole thing, the comedian thing that's typical.
If I've done that, Dave, I'm sorry about doing that.
You've done it so many times to me.
Gotta be thick-skinned.
Yeah, I just don't know why somebody brings a bag of old fruit to a comedy show, Bill, but it's not appropriate.
I happen to be shopping that day at the used hand-me-down fruit store. That was it.
The metal detectors don't work on those.
Yeah,
all right.
The old farmer's market, yeah. You still shouldn't throw stuff.
The antique farmer's market.
I don't want to sound like your kindergarten teacher, Bill, but you shouldn't have been throwing stuff indoors.
All right. I'll accept that. Hey, I remember. So how long have you been doing this now?
About 20 years, yeah.
So I remember going with my wife to see you probably 20 years ago, I'm sure, okay? So now I remember a joke. Now, it's funny, this joke, of all your jokes, this one, I just remember this joke. And maybe I'm springing this on you, but maybe I can hold the microphone away. I'll give you a hint, and maybe you can tell that one. Because if I give the punchline, you know, then I think it's stupid. You know, it doesn't work.
Thing.
But
here's the thing.
Can you remember those jokes?
Just so you know, Rick, no matter what joke he says, I'll be thinking, if I know it, I'm going to be like, I can't believe I still do that joke 20 years later.
right.
So it's going to be humiliating no matter what. So what are you saying? You do the punch and you
No, no. I'm going to pull this microphone away so you can't hear me. But it's a phone. You're on the phone talking to a girl.
Oh.
Okay. And the punchline is something.
I know the punchline. Yeah, I know the setup.
Do you?
You want me to do the whole thing?
Let's do it. Let's do it.
I met a girl. This is a true story. I met a woman. I was, I met a girl. I got her number. I called her up. And we're talking on the phone, and she tells me she's the we made the date, all right, which is, of course, when I should have hung up. But I didn't. I continued to talk. Mm-hmm. And she tells me she's divorced, and she just broke up with her boyfriend. And she's like, yeah, I'm a magnet for losers.
Okay.
Yeah. And I'm like, what time should I pick you up?
I don't know. That one just sticks with me. You know, I don't know. You know, so there you go.
I've got a better one. Not a better one, but I've got one. I'll tell you. I'll tell you off. No, it's not a joke. So I'll tell you afterwards.
Maybe we'll put you
I got a better story.
All right. Oh,
late addition to the show on Saturday night. Rick Moore.
Yeah, yeah. Well, if it's a good enough story, I'll steal it. I'll use it on stage. I'll say it happened to me.
I want you to use it.
Yeah.
Well, we'll let's just come full circle here and put on one more plug in for the show Saturday night. Here at the Cabot.
At the Cabot, Cabot Performing Arts Center, formerly the Cabot Cinema, 286 Cabot Street, Beverly, Massachusetts, birthplace of the American Navy. Great show. Comedy at the Cabot with Ira Proctor.
From Marblehead.
and the actual one is Philadelphia. But we won't discuss that because we're in Beverly now, so we're going to go with the Beverly thing. Anyway, where were we? Oh, the four comics. Dave Decker, Dan Bulger, Ira Proctor, Chris Zito. Starts at 8 o'clock. And tickets are available at thecabot.org or at the door the night of the show.
I think on our Monday or Tuesday North Shore Today post, we have Dan Bulger. We have the clip of him that you had sent me from Craig Ferguson's show.
Yeah, it's a great clip. That's one of the best. I think that's one of the best TV sets I've seen from really anybody. I just think it's hilariously funny. What do you guys think?
Thought it was funny. Yeah. I mean, not as funny as your joke, but I mean, you know what I'm saying. But anything else, Rick?
No, I'm set, but I encourage people to come in here. The place is fantastic, and I know it's a lot of fun. As you say, Dave, it's just a great thing. And how long does each routine go for? I guess that would be my final question.
It's about, we go for a little more than 90. Generally, I say with a comedy show, you want to go 90 minutes. We do the intermission here, so we go a little bit longer than that.
Okay.
New Year's Eve got completely out of control. We went way too long. But yeah, it's about 90. It's every comic does about 20, 25. Last guy has a little bit of leeway that he can stay on, that'll be Ira. So he'll be, we'll probably have to take him. We'll probably have to shoot a net over him and hit him with a tranquilizer gun.
You know what I'm thinking, Dave? We're here in the restored, refurbished Cabot Theater, and when you go into one of these old theaters with the ornate, the woodworking and the all the artistry in the building, it's just, to me, I think it's worth at least 10 more bucks on the ticket price. So the tickets are – no, seriously. I mean, it's an experience coming in here. The seats are comfortable.
Yep.
The atmosphere is unbelievable. It's classic. So, folks, it's probably like a $12 comedy show, but you're going to be paying $22 for it, right?
How about this? It's more like this. It's more of a $22 comedy show, and you get all the ambiance for free.
That's probably right.
It's a really good show. You're right about this. So it's the – I don't know. Customer experience just sounds so corporate. But I guess it's the whole experience of coming in and seeing it at a theater. It's different. Seeing a show at a theater is different than a club. There are advantages to the club and there are advantages to the theater. And there's certain guys who are great at clubs that wouldn't be great at a theater. And this whole, so it's a little bit different. It's still stand up. It's still incredibly funny. But yeah, come. You'll have fun.
Yeah. So this is really a $35 value. If you go to the website, you get it for just $22.
I think it's a $100 value. I think it's $1,000. If you wanted to buy this show, if you want to have this show come to your house, it would be $1,000. But if you can come to the Cabot for just $22.
Yeah. All right. There he is. Dave Radigan, Rick Moore. I'm Bill Newell here on North Shore Today.
Well, North Shore Today continues. Bill Newell along with Rick Moore and looks like an exciting show over at the Cabot Theater on Saturday night. We just remind folks that we do have a post up on our website from last night with Casey Soward, who is the executive director of the Cabot Theater. So we have that up there with some photos. So you can check that out if you'd like on our website today, Rick. We posted that fire video one last time, because we're almost at 5,000 YouTube hits. So we're just posting it there. We'll see what happens today. It's been steadily growing since the fire Saturday in Revere.
How many hits do we have to get before we get a prize?
I don't know. I mean, does that mean cash for us? I don't know. But anyway.
No, I think you get buttons, don't you? Don't they send you a button or something? I don't know.
Let's see what happens. So folks, we only need a few more hits. It's just been growing. It was growing steadily throughout the week this past week. And we also have on our website another Seth Meyer video from The Late Show. And Seth takes a look at the Ted Cruz campaign and some of the charges heading against Ted Cruz, which leads us to a Republican debate tonight. One more Republican debate. It's I think it's on CNN tonight. I want to say it's in Texas, but I'm not exactly sure.
Yeah, Houston.
Yeah,
Houston.
Okay, it is in Texas. And I did see a late poll, a poll out today. I did check the Real Clear Politics website. And right now, there were some polls yesterday, I heard some people talking about some Texas polls where Cruz is ahead. This poll, and you never know about these polls, because of the methodology of them. But this poll had Trump and Cruz tied for first place in Texas. And, of course, Texas is where Ted Cruz is from. He's the senator from Texas. So that's one he's really got to win. On Tuesday, but they're in Super Tuesday. They must be if they wouldn't be debating. But I know they moved their primary up from years ago. So the debate is tonight, and this will be a chance, I guess. Let's see whether Rubio and Cruz continue to go or will go at Donald Trump tonight.
What is that? 9 o'clock usually?
I assume so. Yeah, I assume it's gonna be 9 o'clock.
Yeah, tonight. I'm gonna watch. I'll probably watch for half an hour anyway. Should make for some fun television.
I watched the other night. I watched the results come in from Nevada because I was out that night doing something, and I came back. And it's if there's something on TV of worthwhile, quote unquote worthwhile, air quotes on, that if it's live and or sports or news, I'd stay up and watch it. But so I did. Well, you know what strikes me, Rick, in the some of the results that I've watched this year coming in is that. In the evening, I don't know if you've watched, you've watched election results in the past, but to me, whenever I've watched them in the past, it seems to me the numbers change a little bit, during the course of the evening. I've been amazed in these primaries and caucuses because they're coming in all different areas. It's always a wild card, these primaries and caucuses, different regions of states and so on. But the results don't change that much from when the 1% of the vote is in to when 80 or 90% of the votes are in, all that much. They just don't seem to change all that much. And that's, I've just kind of struck because in the past it seems like, one candidate surges at one part of the night and then it changes and so on. But that's just something, a little quirk on my part. I don't know. I've just been amazed at how, in other words, with 1% of the vote in, that's been pretty much predictive of what's happened in the states.
Yeah, that's a good point. And it takes some of the drama out of it, I guess, for me, because there's no reason to hang around and watch. But it is amazing how that works. I don't know how they do that, but it's pretty cool.
What was interesting on the political front yesterday was, and again, I was kind of on the fly a lot yesterday, so I saw some of this news or heard it, and then it was on TV today, but Mitt Romney. Now, Mitt Romney was accused by Harry Reid in 2012 of some kind of a bombshell in his taxes, which didn't turn out to be true. Now, yesterday, Mitt Romney basically says the same thing about Donald Trump's taxes and is that Trump has not released his taxes, but it'll be interesting to see what what happens with that. I don't think much is going on that, because nothing seems to bother Donald Trump. But, you know, then, of course, Trump responds calling Mitt, saying Mitt asked for his support before and calls him weak, call it some other name. You know, he just can't say, you know, there's nothing in my taxes. He has to go in and insult the Mitt Romney or whatever. So that's the way we're going here. So,
yeah, that's the persona, you know, and Donald's got plenty of lawyers, so I'm sure he's not going to worry about anything like that. The thing that struck me yesterday, or I think it was yesterday, was the fact that he told somebody on some national media that he was going to select a person for vice president who had political connections and knew the inside machinations of Washington. And I thought that was kind of interesting, because now he's the broker. He's above it all, so he'll hire all the people to do the dirty work, and that's how he gets his deals done. Interesting.
Well, you know, that makes a lot of sense. You know, it really, it, I mean, that part makes sense. So, and I actually think, you know, the people beat up on Donald Trump, and that's fine. And I think all the stuff he says, so much of it is unnecessary. But end of the day, I mean, this guy's the consummate deal maker, it appears to me, and we'll see where it goes. But here's another thing that he said yesterday. So I don't know if you heard this, Rick. So he's talking about the results from Nevada the night before. So now he's talking, he goes, I won the evangelical votes. I love those evangelicals. And he says it in those terms. I won the Hispanic vote. You know, I love those Hispanics. I employ a lot of Hispanics. They love me. I won the educated evangelical vote. You know, and I also won the uneducated or the undereducated evangelical vote. And he goes on to say, I love the undereducated people. Who can get away with saying that? You know what I mean?
No, the Donald, apparently.
Yeah. I love those undereducated people. Yeah. Come and vote for me. I love you guys. All right. So.
Well, and who can say in a presidential race, if you don't vote for me, don't vote? You know, so, okay, don't go to the polls and vote. Just vote for me.
Yeah. And the other.
Yeah, he can do it.
The other one I thought was interesting is, you know, there are some strange caucus rules. I get that piece. And if people really, you know, I really think most people don't understand it, you know, outside of those particular states, and those people within those states don't understand it. And that's why they don't show up. There's a very small turnout of people in Nevada that actually caucused, you know, this week. But, you know, on the other hand, he, you know, it's like he's telling people, you don't need to understand what's going on. Just go there and vote. You know what I mean? Just go and vote for me. You just do what you need to do and get there and vote. I don't care how, if you're sick or dying or whatever, bring somebody along with you. But anyway, the caucuses are kind of crazy. And, you know, there is, I have noticed a strain of commentary from people from these caucus states and that, you know, that they're from the states saying, caucuses are crazy. We got to get more people involved than just have a primary. So we'll see where that goes. I think Nevada might be headed that way. Iowa will probably always have the caucuses because that's their thing. But I'm thinking, you know, states like Nevada might want to change it up. So
I think we need a new word for it too. I don't like the word
caucus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, sounds nasty.
Well, let's take a look at sports, Rick. Big night for the Danvers basketball teams last night. The boys defeated Peabody, continue on. I believe that's their last regular season game. The Peabody boys lost, but they've already qualified for the tournament, so both Danvers and Peabody basketball boys teams have qualified. Tough break for the Peabody girls. They lost to the Danvers girls last night, and so they do not qualify for the tournament, and so on. And while Danvers has already qualified for the tournament on the girls' side. And we have some other scores up there from high school hockey. Winthrop hockey team won. Marblehead still has another game to go. Beverly lost last night in boys hockey, but the Beverly Danvers girls team was a winner over Chelmsford last night. So we do have some scores up on our website and some other college notes as well. And again, we mentioned this earlier in our program, but Dan Bauer, the football coach at Beverly High School, has accepted a job as a principal at Marblehead High School, and so thus he leaves Beverly. I don't think he can continue to coach Beverly football after this, so they're going to have to hire a new coach at Beverly High School. But, you know, Rick, looking at his coaching record, and there's a story in today's Salem News about that, this guy has a remarkable coaching record, a very successful coaching record in Beverly.
Yep, and the proof is in the pudding, as they say. He's done a great job teaching kids, you know, all things football and all things about life. He's done a great job with that. And as assistant principal, as I said before, he's well-respected. Great guy. I'm really happy for him. Going to miss talking with him. You know, I'm sure Tim's going to miss talking with him on a weekly basis. But we'll obviously maintain contact with him. And, you know, again, Marblehead is you got the benefit of this when they're picking up a really good guy. Bill, I want to mention a couple of quick sports things.
Hold on, before you do that, Rick, I got an email from Tim, and I think he's looking or interested at Tim Curran's of opening up a new feature called the Principal's File.
There you go. That works.
All right, go ahead. I'm sorry.
He knows too, I think, anyway, that he could get a talk with, I think, Coach Gallagher, and Coach Bauer would be happy to talk with him every week. Yeah, Gloucester beat Somerville last night 3-1 in hockey, so Gloucester now has 12 wins. Their season is over. They await the tournament pairings as well, and Somerville plays Marblehead on Friday night. And one other quick note, my stepdaughter was on the Grunk cruise, and she posted a picture today of her with her cousin and Grunk together. And my stepdaughter, who is a very tall woman, doesn't go up. She goes up to about Grunk's armpit. He's just a giant.
Yeah, I saw it. There's somewhere I saw a picture. I don't know where I saw it. It was Grunk dancing with four women or something. No, what was that? Wait, probably not even worth going into. I don't know if I got that. Did we have that post of Gronkowski on the Conan show a few weeks ago? I don't know if we put that. We were looking for that. I don't know if we found that or not, but it's a pretty funny bit. But I think we did post it on our website on this post. But one other note was we mentioned this earlier as well, but in sports. But Gary Malaya, the football coach, former football coach, and currently assistant football coach in Lynn English High School and athletic director, is now the assistant principal at Lynn English High School. So they'll need to search for a new AD as well. I know Dick Newton is the assistant athletic director over there. So those things are going on, and I think that's pretty much it. So we got to debate it up tonight.
Sounds good.
All right. So that's Rick Moore. I'm Bill Newell, and thanks for being with us on North Shore Today on MSONewsSports.com.